like vocally? Let's talk about serving vocally.
Serving vocals. I love Will Swenson, Sweet. However, I cannot get behind the show. I cannot get behind A Beautiful Noise.
Not on my list.
We're going
not
bold.
Even on my long list.
We're going rogue, okay? I've been burned before and I will not be burned again.
Hi everyone, welcome back to After Broadway, the podcast where we deep dive into anything and everything musical theater from the comfort of my car. I'm Tara.
I'm Stefania.
And in today's episode, we're back with a way too early Tony nominations, 2022-2023 edition. This year, kind of crazy. There are so many celebrities in this categories of everything this year, and so many latecomers that really messed up everyone's ballots.
So true.
So
Parade really had to come in and do that.
There was a chunk of time, and I want to say at time of episode record, which we will date stamp because we are way, way too early, as we always know, but we are recording on January 19th, and I want to say like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I feel like there was news after news after news after news, and I had said on our Matilda episode, which you will hear probably in the next episode, that if a Parade announcement comes in, like, I wouldn't be surprised. And here we are with a Parade announcement coming in. We don't have a full cast attached to it, but we know that it's Ben Platt, Michaela Diamond, and directed by Michael Arden. So
I'm assuming that she's, that it's going to be, like, most of the cast from the City Center.
Minus Gayton, because he's in Sweeney.
Right, he's busy. But, like, for the most part, guess would it be predominantly the City Center cast.
Where is it again?
The Jacobs.
Oh, right. I can't go back to the Jacobs. I've seen so many shows at the Jacobs.
We need to get our Broadway up close passport so you can truly track how many times you've been to the Jacobs.
Shout out to
Tim, we're coming for you.
Yeah, honestly, but shout out to friend of the podcast and my friend, and you know her too, Alex, but she is on like a mission to not repeat theaters, and the last trip that she went to, she repeated theaters, and when Parade announced that it was coming to the Jacobs, she was like, are you kidding me? Like, I was just there. So it's, yeah, it's annoying stuff. But, you know, it's a good space for Parade, all said and done. And I don't know, two City Center transfers this season.
Within 1 year.
Is wild.
It's kind of interesting, actually, because, so Company closed in the summer that was at the Jacobs, and then Almost Famous opened and then subsequently closed. Mm-hmm. And then now Parade's going in. So really, like, within one,
and it's a
like
limited one, run.
It's a limited run. So something else. So within like 365 days, three shows will have been playing in this one theater.
And
all musicals.
Should
too,
we manifest the Notebook
normal.
To the Jacobs in the fall?
Notebook to the Jacobs. That's interesting. That's an interesting thought.
I don't know. It feels like a smaller space kind of
yes.
show to me.
I always like vote for the Booth for like a small musical, but Kimberly Akimbo, we're hoping will run for a while, and that's at the Booth right now.
Yeah.
So the Jacobs is also good.
I guess it depends if it's a Ju Jamson or a Schubert.
Okay,
show.
Did you hear the like slight rumor that Ju Jamson is selling their theaters?
To who?
Ambassador?
Oh.
To Ambassador?
Yes.
Did you hear this? I saw it on TikTok.
Yes. I think I did hear something about this, but doesn't this like affect Jordan Roth? Sorry, this is like deep right now.
Well, he I don't know if he owns Ju Jamson or what he does at Ju Jamson. But yeah, I was like, that's very interesting.
Do you remember, and maybe I'm making this up, but there was like a rumor that some like streaming service or some like heavy hitter was gonna buy like Broadway theaters?
Oh, I don't remember that rumor, but that's interesting. I don't know how I feel about that. I do not know.
No, I know. I don't know how I feel about that either, but I hope it's not HBO Max because they are just like slaughtering everyone left, right, and center.
They're just tax ready. They're just using, they're just writing off everything for tax purposes is what, was what
I'm
they're doing
sad
right
about
now.
Gossip Girl, because this is very off topic, but actually so many Broadway
it's
people
on topic.
Have been
it's
in this
topic.
Season of actually just to randomly
Laura Benanti,
talk about this.
Adam
not
Chandler
even that.
Barrett.
And like that what's her name?
Tavi Gevinson.
Yes. And then in the last episode that I watched like a couple weeks ago, randomly Orfeh, Andy Carl, and Ali Stroker. So
I don't know about that.
This season was actually way better than the last season, and I just feel bad for everybody that has a show on HBO Max right now, because you get like it's one really, season and then you're done.
It's really weird what's happening on HBO Max right now.
Yeah,
my family does not
all
pay for it, so that's so we are the problem.
Maybe you are.
My daddy canceled Crave, which is what HBO Max is on.
If you're
Canada.
Listening to us in the States, it's Crave is like what It's like a house of many things. It has many.
Yes. It mostly, so the, it has all the HBO stuff on it, but it also has like most channels on demand.
Yeah.
Like your networks, you can see stuff on demand on Crave.
Exactly. So, and West Side Story and In the Heights plays on Crave daily. So that just tells you what's playing
on
Crave.
That's true.
Yeah.
Should
we get into this?
Let's go. Yeah, so it's an interesting year, right? So there are 9 new musicals and how many revivals? 6? 6 revivals. So 15 musicals in the 2022-2023 Broadway season.
This is a full season. We are back to the way that we were before.
It is a full season. Yeah, that's the thing. We are back, but at the same time, we're not because... Mm-hmm. It does look different in the longevity of shows, the audiences that they're attracting, or the ability to attract audiences at all.
It's literally 4 days ago on day of recording, 6 shows closed on Broadway. So.
Yeah. I mean, it was the early January kind of massacre that always happens because, you know, right now is a slow season in New York for tourism, for theater in general, before award season picks up. So a lot of stuff closes, but some stuff... I don't know if it was premature or not, or, you know, the audiences are not 100% back, even if the performers are at this point. So,
yeah. Also, we do know that the cutoff is April 27th for this season. However, this is the first time I feel like in a few years now, I'm not counting the COVID, like 2020 year, because everything was kind of messed up then. But at this point, we should have had at least one round of eligibility for the Tony Awards, and we have not received anything yet. Again, January 19th is the day that we're recording, and it is a little bit odd because so many of the new shows, a lot of them have closed already. So it's interesting to not have any.
Two musicals have closed, and 2 revivals have closed. So 2 new musicals, 2 revivals have closed at this point.
And I'm looking up to see the date of the Tony Awards. It is on June 11th.
When are the nominations coming out?
Well, if the cutoff is April 27th, I want to say like May 2nd, right here. May 2nd is the Tony nominations. And this year it is not at Radio City. It is at United Place, which is, I believe,
weird.
Actually, I don't know where exactly it is. I'm reading this right now. I know that, it's near like New Jersey, which I think is kind of interesting that they're doing this because... They bust the cast for the performances
from their theaters.
From the theaters, and then if you aren't nominated, which like obviously the ensembles are never nominated, which is a whole other discussion that like I wish. Even I was talking to my brother Corey about this. He's like, "Why isn't there an ensemble award?" I'm like, "Great question. We all have this exact same question." Mm. And he also thinks that like the person that plays the understudy should also be nominated with the lead actor. And I was like, "Oh, that would be nice, but doesn't happen here." But with that being said, if this is kind of like close to New Jersey, then like you can't really bus your ensembles to and from the theater. So are we going to get more performances within the theaters? Maybe. I don't know.
Or they're going to have like a big holding room or something.
But like it's interesting because they warehouse parking lot to park all of the buses.
It is interesting because normally the performers do the matinee that day and then go to the Tony Awards. So if they're much further away, like New York's not that big, but traffic is
situation. No, but like if you get stuck in traffic, like a 5-minute journey turns into a 35-minute journey. So yes.
So yeah, if their matinee ends at like 4 and they
everyone's taking the Amtrak over.
Rob McClure's not going to be there.
He's not busy. Nominated this season. He's not in a show. So.
Busy. So it's kind of like an awkward thing. I mean, this is not for us to figure out, but interesting.
I want to say that Lin-Manuel Miranda has something to do with this, but I could be wrong.
He's always involved.
I feel like
he's
kind of
always...
like saved this theater is what I think, but I actually don't know the answer. And then it's the same thing as it was in the last couple years at least, that it's playing on CBS and then it's also streaming on Paramount Plus. But I think similar to last year, Canadians will be able to watch all of it this time, which is great. With that, should we start? Or do you want to actually name the 9 musicals and the 6 revivals and then we'll get into the
categories? Let's do that. So in order of opening, here are the new original musicals on Broadway this season. Almost Famous, which opened on November 3rd and has since closed. Kimberly Akimbo, which opened on November 10th. And Juliet, which opened on November 17th. K-Pop, which opened on November 27th and has also closed. A Beautiful Noise, which opened on December 4th. Some Like It Hot opened December 11th. Bad Cinderella is opening on March 23rd. Shucked, opening on April 4th. And New York, New York, opening April 26th. You know, that end of season is kind of a
they're
little
literally,
empty.
But it's the day before.
It's the day before. It's the day before.
The cutoff.
The day before. Okay, and now we've got our revivals. So, the six revivals. Into the Woods opened on July 10th and has since closed. 1776 opened on October 6th and has since closed. Parade is opening on March 16th. Dancin' is opening on March 19th. Sweeney Todd opening on March 26th. And Camelot opening on April 13th.
I don't know. There's a lot in there for like Feb to April.
Yeah,
there
so
could
it's,
be. And so I mean, like while we're here, the three, potentials.
One, two. So it's seven new musicals opening in the spring, four revivals, three new musicals. Okay, what are the potentials? You have the better list than me, I think.
I mean, we have been talking about this show for 3 years now. Sing Street. Where you at?
Predated the pandemic, honestly, Sing Street.
The other potential, which is currently playing in Toronto, it probably won't still be playing on Toronto in Toronto on the day of release of this episode, but it's Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat from the West End. I can see this moving, but I don't see this moving this season.
Yes, I don't think they have the time right now. I don't know.
No.
What theaters
I don't know.
Are open?
It's an iffy one. We don't know. There's a lot.
Reopen the palace.
Another show that we don't think is coming this season, but the Rumorville is just hot as it has been. Cabaret. It's going strong in the West End. They keep replacing Sally Bowles and the MC. I don't see that show closing anytime soon in the West End. Mm-hmm. But I do see it coming maybe next season on Broadway. The Notebook. Another show we've been talking about since pre-pandemic. And
yes.
I think we will see it next year, but I don't think we'll see it this year. They did have a great out of town in Chicago and a lot of great
reviews.
The reviews
were so wonderful out of that
out
of town. And the word
and
of mouth was really good.
Yeah, great word of mouth. Like TikTok word of mouth was amazing. And then the final one that is, I believe, like at time of episode record, currently in some sort of a workshop phase is Lempicka. This is starring Eden Espinosa and it had its out of town in La Jolla. Another one that had pretty good reviews. I know zero about this show. Couldn't even give you like any sort of synopsis.
Oh, I actually have one more to add.
Oh, is it the Avett Brothers musical with Star Sands?
No, as you know. You know, we can always talk about that. As you know, Amanda Seyfried is deep in the process of creating a new musical.
We also hope that Kevin Costner is doing well.
Yeah, after having to shelter in place. Yeah, as you know, Amanda Seyfried is deep in the process of creating a new musical. So Thelma and Louise, the musical.
Potentially also starring Evan Rachel Wood, but like the way that it was written in the Variety article was
so
like,
funny.
She's not actually signed on for it. They're just hoping for her. And then
yeah,
Amanda Seyfried also said in an interview one day, she was like, Broadway is a big feat. I'm like, you're not there yet, but like, that's fine.
Good for you. How about you? Honestly, I'm crying laughing. I made myself laugh.
That was the most shocking moment to me on the Golden Globes. And I'll never forget that. For some reason, they decided this year that they needed excuses for why people weren't there. And literally this man from Yellowstone was like, Amanda Seyfried can't be here because she's deep in the process of creating a musical. All of us are like, sorry, what? And also all of Twitter thought it was Mamma Mia 3.
We hoped, if anything. We hoped it was Mamma Mia 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a highlight. It was really funny.
I never, like, that was a moment when I was like, wow, the crossover of my timeline of, like, theater fans that are also movie fans, I've never seen so many crossover tweets at that moment. It was a true joy of the night.
Oh, it was so funny. Oh, okay.
All right.
Here we go.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start with, I think, like, Best Actress. What do you think about that?
Okay. Yeah. Stacked. These categories are stacked.
It's tough.
Like, it's
tough.
It's crazy. Okay, give me a name.
I'm going to start with an actress who I had the tragedy to miss when I saw this show on Broadway. Sarah Bareilles in Into the Woods.
I have her as well.
A wonderful show with a wonderful performance at the center of it, I assume. Because mm-hmm. I didn't
I
see
mean,
it. But,
we heard, but we've seen clips on YouTube.
The understudy was stunning as well. What is her name? Yeah. I don't remember.
Mary-Kate.
But she was really great.
Something. No. Mary-Kate something. You didn't see Mary-Kate more?
Maybe I did.
She was like the main Baker's wife understudy.
I probably did. If that's who you're saying it was, I probably did. She was really great. I don't know if that's her last name, but sorry. My first person in this category is Sarah Bareilles.
Great. She's also on my list. I am going to go with, again, a show that really messed up all of our ballots. I think there is no way that Michaela Diamond is not nominated for Parade in this. And Carolee Carmello was nominated for this in the original, which is so funny to me because Carolee Carmello is like all over this season in many
<She's>
ways.
Here.
So she's even the back. Fact that she like is a looming presence because she was nominated for the original like Broadway production of Parade is just like a thing. So
she is back.
We've heard great things about Michaela Diamond in this show. We've heard great things about Parade. I loved her in the Cher show, and I'm happy that she's getting like this spotlight moment.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also have her on my list. Okay, to round out my revival nominees, I have Annaleigh Ashford in Sweeney Todd as Mrs. Lovett.
Wait, that's to round out your revival nominees?
For this category.
I think there's one more, but that's fine.
Okay, well, I'm spreading the love somewhere else. Imagine us having a different opinion.
I know who you're spreading the love to, but I don't think it's going to fit.
Yeah, I'm just having a different opinion. It doesn't happen all the time, but today, it's going to happen.
Today.
Okay.
I agree. Annaleigh Ashford is like 100% getting nominated for this. Also, that Sweeney Todd artwork, we haven't even talked about this, me and you. Great.
Yes. It's really nice. It's really good.
Yeah. And the marquee went up today. I saw it on Instagram.
Exciting. Yeah.
Okay, my next person on the list, this is someone that we had on our list last year if this show transferred, but it never did, and here she is, which I would say at the top of the list, is Victoria Clark for Kimberly Akimbo.
Yes.
We've only heard, like, wonderful things about her in this production. I love Vicky Clark. And, yeah, like, her performance off-Broadway, people were obsessed with, and on-Broadway, same thing.
Yeah, this is kind of, for me, the hot ticket of the season.
Although I keep getting alerts from Today Ticks on my phone that tickets are like $40, so maybe it's not.
I think right now is like a tough, like, January to March, is you just kind of push through that time. And then hopefully, like, with awards buzz and all that, it kind of extends its life a bit.
Also, have you listened to anything from it? Because I have not, like, intentionally.
I listened to the two songs that kind of were released recently, and they're okay to me.
I have a feeling that this is kind of a show that, like, in setting,
you have
the songs hit differently. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. The two songs that I listened to are fine to me. Like, I wasn't, like, listen to this cast recording.
Right.
But I am still excited to see it when I eventually get to it.
Actually, a side note and something that I cannot believe that you have not, like, shouted from the rooftops, that the Between the Lines cast recording came out.
It did. The day it came out, I was like...
But you didn't tell me.
Sorry.
I found this out yesterday.
Between the... Yes. Do It For You from the Between the Lines cast recording.
A show
is
that
the moment.
Is not on our potential transferring, but
no,
it happened.
I don't think it's going to go to Broadway. It's just not meant for that space. In my opinion.
Okay, give me your fifth nominee because we are different here.
You're different. My fifth nominee is Miss Lorna Courtney from Anne Juliet. A star, an absolute star.
I agree with this. This is my sixth spot, but unfortunately, but also fortunately, my fifth spot goes to Philippa Sue for Camelot.
Interesting. What do we know about Camelot, Tara?
I don't know anything about it, but I know that it's Philippa Sue and it's probably going to be great.
I'm wondering if she'd be in featured.
Everything I've
put her
read
in lead.
So far
I put her
says
in
lead.
Lead. I put her in
that
lead,
it would be... What, is she playing Guinevere? Is that what the character's name is? I read that Guinevere and Arthur are the leads and that like Lancelot would be featured.
I'm just going to like do a peep.
But I literally know nothing about Camelot.
So in 1961, Julie Andrews played Guinevere, and she was nominated in lead. So
is that the last time it was on Broadway?
No, it was on Broadway in 1980 as well.
Wow, but like a long time ago. So not many of these revivals then. Feel like they've been here, like here and there, more recently, like as recently as like the 2000s. So to 1980 is a long time ago.
Or 1981?
Still.
I'm on
Wikipedia.
Oh, no. 1993 at the Gershwin. Wow.
1993 is still a long time. Like the last
Sweeney Todd was 30 years 2005.
Ago. 1993
is 30 years
I know.
yeah, I'm just on their Wikipedia page. 1993 is the last time it was there.
And no one was nominated in 1993?
It doesn't. On the Wikipedia page, it doesn't have awards for the 1993 revival. So I'm going to go with no.
All right.
Weird though.
We just, like, I don't know. I feel like when she was announced, it made the season, or when Camelot was announced and then they announced the cast, I think it made the season more interesting.
I do think it's interesting. However, I have Philippa Soon.
I know where you have her too, but maybe else. I have her in both.
It's possible. I was watching the Actors Roundtable this year with Jeremy Pope, and they were talking about him being like double nominated, but that's so rare. It's truly sober. But then the other thing is...
No, last year there were so many double nominees. Not in acting categories, but like Christopher Whelan was a double nominee last year.
Directing is different than acting, I think. Like acting, it's harder to do.
Imagine though, double Tony nominee Philippa Soo. Like,
no, but like nice ring. Christopher Whelan was a double nominee for like directing and...
Oh, I know. Like Jeremy Pope was show. A rarity like, in...
for different shows. For different shows.
Yeah, could two it could shows happen again here.
No, it could happen here, but... it could absolutely happen, but I have... Anyway, we'll get there.
And on my list, it's happening here. Anyway, do you have any more on the long list before we do the winner? I have many.
I mean, there are many. I think... So, some six alumni are going to be returning to Broadway.
Congrats to them.
Very quickly. So, we've got Adriana Hicks in Some Like It Hot and Anna Uzele in New York, New York. And I have both of them... as like long list people.
So do I. I want to say the New York, New York like promo photo video that they put on YouTube, like gorgeous.
She looks amazing.
Stunning. Colton Ryan looks great. The hot. Setting that they like filmed it in, beautiful. So like that might entice people to buy tickets. Also, I did listen to the two songs from that. You like Canner and Ebb? For you.
They're
it's
nice.
For you.
They're
it's
nice
good.
Songs.
I actually like, and we'll talk about him a bit later.
I liked
but
hers
there's
more than his, but.
But he has, like, an 11 o'clock number, which is kind of rare for men. Like, it's a very belty song, which is kind of
so,
nice to hear.
I was on the IMDb for the movie for other reasons, but we'll get to those later. And it's Robert De Niro and Liza Minnelli in the movie. So those are the...
Wow. Like,
so wow. That's kind of, like, the mold, I guess, that they're being modeled. It was a Scorsese movie. So yeah. I think it's, like, an interesting source material. It's not a movie I've seen.
No.
It's kind of the Mr. Saturday Night of this Broadway season, if you will.
Kind of, but, and we mentioned him earlier, but, like, Lynn's name is on this, too. So, yes. You never know what can happen when Lynn is attached. Also, their exactly. Artwork, beautiful.
Yes.
I love really their beautiful. Artwork. Someone else that's on my list, I don't know how to say her name correctly, but Cinderella herself.
I would say Linity Janelle.
She's playing bad Cinderella. I don't think she'll be nominated.
I'm not just Cinderella. I'm not just your Cinderella. I'm your bad Cinderella.
If there's not a spray paint can in the merch, I'll be upset.
Ugh. They all need to like look spray painted.
Yeah. Someone else that we debated, which I think, again, based on eligibility, we don't really know, but Patina Miller could be considered in the best right. actress category or lead actress, but she also could be considered in featured. So that could kind of shake things up too, because as we know, Into the Woods, like darling of the year, basically. Yeah. I also, again, she will not be nominated, but Luna from K-pop mm-hmm. would be in this category too. And then like, is Carly Carmelo here for 1776 or is she in featured?
I have her in featured for 1776.
Because I have her in featured for Bad Cinderella.
Me too. Me too, girl.
Okay, who's your winner? I think we have the same winner.
I think I have to go with Victoria Clark, Miss Vicky Clark.
It's Vicky Clark. Vicky Clark is winning this year.
I remember when I saw her in Suzatska here in Toronto.
I remember when I saw her in Cinderella on Broadway. Wow. Vicky Clark, though, like, again, I don't know very much about Kimberly Akimbo, but have heard that, like, it's such a lovely, heartwarming show and that her performance is stunning. So, I don't know. This would be so exciting.
She's playing a teenager and she, like, that's so fun.
Yeah.
I love it.
And she's also, like, a bit of a vet in comparison to the rest of the people that would be nominated on this list.
Yes, we have, like, some people. I don't know if anyone in my list, no one in my list is making their Broadway debut here, but definitely in a different age spectrum than Victoria Clark. Okay, let's do best
actor.
Let's do best actor. This is a tough category. I was kind of like, I've been arranging and rearranging in this
category. We're having a rematch of a 2017 Tony Awards here.
Ben Platt versus
Josh Groban.
Josh Groban. Yeah, so yeah. Let's start there. Ben Platt, number one.
Yeah.
On the list.
Josh Groban, number two on the list. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
I feel like Ben is trying to redeem himself here for the last year and a bit that he's had since the Dear Evan Hansen movie came out. Is he a little too young for this part? Maybe. But
he's 30 years old. Or 29 years old.
Yeah.
Well, if he's young, Michaela Diamond is young. But is it... I don't know. Like, Leo Frank was a real person. Mm-hmm. Now I just want to... Now I'm going to search how old he
was. I just have one question. Because I know at the City Center production, during the 20 minutes of intermission, Ben Platt sat on that stage. And I want to know if he's going to sit there on Broadway.
He was 29 when he was convicted.
Oh, so he's actually the correct age.
So look at that.
We love correctly aged
casting. Me trying to do math. Ben Platt obviously has the most gorgeous voice. Is not only age appropriate, but culturally, ethnically appropriate for this role, which we absolutely love to see.
We love.
As is Michaela Diamond. And this is, you know, it's a Jason Brown score. It's...
It's kind of like a bit of a blind spot for me. I don't listen to Parade. But from what I have listened to of Parade, it's beautiful. It's just like not my favorite JRB.
Sure, sure. It's quite heavy. So you got to kind of be in the zone, in the mood for Parade, I think. Sometimes I skip around Parade. I target certain moments.
I'm also interested to know if they're going to do similarly to what Into the Woods did, because I know when it was at City Center, they had the band on stage.
Right.
The Jacobs isn't that big to have the band on stage.
Like the stage isn't as deep.
With Company, the band was above. I think with Almost Famous, I like really don't remember a lot of that show, but I think the band was like off stage.
Right.
So it will be interesting if it ends up being like a pit band in comparison, because in my mind, I'm seeing like Simplistic set like Into the Woods did. This is like very rare for City Center to have two... productions that transferred onto Broadway and that have been like
in the same year
and that have been like so highly reviewed, like everyone loves both of these productions, so it's very exciting that that's here. And then on the flip side, Mr. Josh Groban playing Sweeney Todd himself,
he's back baby.
I don't know, we had this discussion at work, and I had this discussion at work with a lot of like non-theater goers who love Josh Groban, and don't get me wrong, like like Josh Groban. I just don't like see him as a murderer. You know,
that's called acting, Tara. That's called acting.
I hope. His voice to me is just like not this, but maybe I'll be proved wrong.
I just don't know if I know Sweeney enough to like be able to say if Josh Groban is or isn't Sweeney Todd. Coming up to me. Like, when that was announced, I was like, great, sounds like fun. Like, I wasn't like, he's wrong for this, you know?
No, I understand what you're saying. I don't know. I think he probably thought before Parade transferred that this was maybe a lock for him, but I don't think it is anymore.
Well,
not that I think that it's a lock for either of these two people, but we'll get to that in a second.
This was interesting. I was highlighting and then erasing people.
Yeah.
For this category.
Okay, so who's your number three on the list?
Okay, my next person I'm going to go with, and this is actually, I think, a risky choice, but I loved him. Brian D'Arcy James.
I don't think that's a risky choice.
Is this man eligible, though? Because he did not perform on opening night.
Yeah, we don't know. We actually don't know the ruling, because Brian D'Arcy James, I believe, had COVID. And from previous years, you have to perform on opening night plus, like, the five shows after that. And he obviously didn't because he was sick. So, we don't know.
Yeah, but...
And it's not like he...
He's wonderful.
Like, he came back and did it, but I wonder, like, at what point did Tony voters, like, stop coming to Into the Woods?
Right. Yeah, it's especially hard because, again, it's not running during, like, voting season, so we shall see. But truly, his performance impacted me. So, he gets a yellow highlight for me.
He's also on my list. Again, like, pending eligibility, but because we don't know, we can't really make any other... decision. The next person on my list, from Kimberly Akimbo, it is Justin Cooley. I know nothing about
him somewhere else. I have put that man in a different category.
Okay, so I texted you yesterday because it's confusing because Kimberly Akimbo was nominated for like Outer Critics last year, Drama Desk, and Lucille Lordal Awards, and in two of the three of those was nominated as a lead actor, and then in one of those was nominated as a featured actor. So, with no eligibility, like, we don't really...
Yeah, we're just guessing. Which is why this is totally a useless exercise that we're doing right now. Well, and yet we're having fun.
Yeah, like, this happens to us every year. We get caught in this, like, bubble of last year. It was with Ramin in Funny Girl, and someone else last year we got caught in it because we just, like, weren't sure where... Oh, Shoshana Bean. We didn't know where they would lie. So maybe we'll find out in a little bit because those... few shows that open in the fall, like, their eligibility is out. It should be at this point. So.
Yeah, it usually is. I don't think we've missed one. And if
we haven't. I looked.
I'm sorry. Okay, you looked. I trust. Okay, I do not have him. My next person I'm going to go with is Colton Ryan.
Why? Really?
He's just so cute. Why not?
Don't get me wrong. You know how I feel about Colton Ryan. But I just, like... Is this justice for, like, Girl from the North Country?
It is justice for Girl from the North Country. It's justice for Girl from the North Country. He didn't make it in
this man,
night, so.
A gorgeous voice. Gorgeous voice. And as you said, he looks really good in that promo video. So I'm happy to see him as a leading man because we haven't seen him as a leading man before.
Yes, I'm excited.
He was kind of like a leading man in Alice by Heart, but, like, it obviously wasn't on Broadway and we didn't get to see it.
Yes, exactly. Like, his tone of voice. It's beautiful.
So stunning. It's so beautiful. I love it so much. Okay, my last person in this category is Jay Harrison Gee for Some Like It Hot.
That's also who I have. That's my last person as well.
Bold
of us to again, not go with Christian Borle. Bold.
I don't think he... Where did I put him?
Did you put him in feature?
I put him in lead. Jay Harrison Gee, I think, ever since Some Like It Hot opened, has been, like, the talk of the show, is the best part of that show, and exciting to have some representation on Broadway. I think the first time that, like, you and I properly talked about Jay Harrison Gee was for Chicago at the Muni. I don't remember, like, before talking about...
I mean, he's done Kinky Boots, he's done lots of things.
But nothing that we had seen. So, like, not a name. I think it was, like, TikTok that, like, introduced me when they had posted, like, his performance of All That Jazz at the Muni. And I was like, wow. So.
Yeah, no. It's very fun. I agree that he will be kind of the performer highlighted from that show. Who's your number six? Oh, sorry. Keep going.
No, I was going to say some long list. Number six? Like, does For Alex me? Newell fit here?
Okay, I have him featured.
That's what I have him in both, because I wasn't sure.
I know. For me, number six is
Will Swenson.
It's Will Swenson. I love Will Swenson, sweet however, I cannot get behind the show. I cannot get behind A Beautiful Noise, the sweet, the Neil Diamond jukebox musical.
Remember when I told you, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, that the framing device of this show is that it's from, like, old Neil Diamond's perspective. I can't get that out of my head.
I have the old Neil Diamond in the long list for featured actor.
For featured.
So the the understudy for the role of Neil Diamond, like then Neil Diamond, is a former American Idol winner named Nick Frattiani. And to me, that is the funniest thing that's ever happened. I don't know why. That information does not leave my mind. It is so funny to me that this former American Idol winner.
Theater is life. Backstage. Kate from TikTok, who we watch all of her videos all the time. At time of episode record, she's in New York right now and just saw A Beautiful Noise and always posts like very quick snippets. And her comment on it was like, this show made me cry and the audience loved it, so I can't knock it.
Like, true, true. No, honestly, we are not the market. We're not the age group for a Neil Diamond musical.
But the fact that the final song is not Sweet Caroline is truly shocking to me.
They like, don't do that as the curtain call song.
What do they do? They do another song. Ask me
what other Neil Diamond songs are there, to be honest.
That's what I said. And my parents were like, come on. Let's open this up. I think it's something with is You're Coming to America him? Because that's the song I think that is the curtain call song.
Watch it not be. That would be so embarrassing.
For me, but yeah.
I think it is,
but I actually don't think it's called that.
Into America. A Beautiful Noise. I'm on Wikipedia. I just forgot what that musical was called. There's no song list on Wikipedia.
Also, my friend Alex was in New York and she went to the Museum of Broadway and the employee working there said that it was a terrible show. So
no. That's so
There's
funny.
There's really not a lot of, like, great reviews around this. Although the video of Neil Diamond watching the first performance was
wrecked.
A highlight.
Wrecked me. Absolutely wrecked me.
A man you care nothing about.
No,
yet you're
even,
sitting there sobbing.
I don't know this man. No. This is not...
I swear that that's the song that they sing, but I can't find it.
I looked at the album, but the thing about the album is that it, like... The last song is probably not the last song because they put like bonus tracks on these things.
Wait, there's a Beautiful Noise cast recording?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jordan Dobson was in this show?
Yes. And he's moving.
He's leaving.
I actually want to shout out the Twitter runner of the Bad Cinderella Twitter account because it's giving Diana the musical and I'm here for
it. They know what's going on. Okay, so there's Brooklyn Road / America Medley.
It must be that.
Is it that? The last thing on the cast recording is a song called Holly Holy, which never heard of in my life.
No, I don't know.
Forever in Blue Jeans. I kind of know that song. I'm just looking through the whole thing. Sweet Caroline ends Act One, Tara. That's okay.
We wanted it to be like multiple times, though.
Yeah, every two songs, everyone's just like, ba, ba, ba.
But do you think everyone does that in the audience? Because that would drive me insane.
Yes, they absolutely do that.
Oh,
they
I'm not going. Do that. I can't see this show. For the reason that we've stated a million times of people singing in the audience, I could not see this show. Not that it's like high on my list, but that's for me not to go. Sorry, Will Swenson, I love you, but not in this way.
The star of The Greatest Showman, Will Swenson.
Also, his wig, bad.
Will Swenson, I don't know if his hair has ever looked good, whether it be a wig or his own personal hair. So.
No. What do you mean? When he was in like The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, he was giving salt and pepper.
Did not watch that. Did not watch that. No. So the thing about jukebox musical in general is always like, why are people singing? And then Anne Juliet came out and it was targeted directly to us. And I'm like, I understand.
But I still didn't sing.
But yeah. I understood.
Yeah. Also, we never referenced, we're not talking about plays, but that only reminded me now because Audra would have been in this season too. So
yeah, she did a play.
It's possible that both of their shows could close prematurely, but we're not there yet.
She's closed.
No, I know she's closed, but he might be closed soon too.
Yeah. I mean, people do love a jukebox musical that...
You think it's giving the next Beautiful?
Aims towards their... That aims towards their own like generation.
Sure.
To be honest, the rest of the long list here is Camelot, Andrew Burnap, and Jordan Donica. I think there's
I
a very
put Jordan
good chance.
Donica in featured.
You put Jordan Donica. I put them both in lead.
Because
that might be right.
Yeah,
that might be right. But I put them both in lead here.
Sorry. Shout out to and we keep forgetting you. And I'm so sorry we keep forgetting you, Casey Likes.
Truly, we'll talk about Casey Likes later.
But we keep forgetting about him, but he would also be on that long list.
Gorgeous voice. But yeah, I truly think Andrew Burnap or Jordan Donica can knock any of these people out. I just don't know what this production of Camelot is looking like yet.
No,
so it's hard to say. So who are they most likely to knock out? Colton Ryan from my list Brian D'Arcy James also could be knocked out, I think. Mm-hmm. Just because it'll be closed for so long by the time it gets there.
It depends if, like, Camelot becomes, like, darling of the season. Like, it is a Bartlett Shear. It is an Aaron Sorkin script. Like, we don't know what's going to happen here.
It's at the Vivian Beaumont, so, you know, it has prestige.
Yes. Okay, yeah, so all that to say, who's your winner?
Who is my winner? Oh, this is very difficult. This is very difficult. I'm going to give this to Groban. I'm going to give this to Groban. I'm going to give it to Groban.
I am going to be controversial here, but not controversial because, again, the reviews are great. I think it's J. Harrison Geese to lose.
Oh, okay. I almost went with him, but then I was like, I just don't know if the love is going to be there for that show.
Okay, but think about, like, the... If there's going to be love for the show, I think it would only be...
Right, right. It will be for him. It will be for him.
No, that's a lie. I think possibly, like, choreography. Score. We know Casey is here. Casey Nicola is here. So, like, I think there will be some love for it. But, like, in terms of actually winning, I think he could be the solo to represent the show. I've heard the performance is so good and, like, front runner right now for a lot of people. But, again, like... Sweeney and Parade have not opened yet, so no one has seen those performances.
Yes. I really thought you were going to say Ben Platt, and I was like, sorry, I just don't think people are going to give Ben another Tony so soon. I just don't know if he...
No. I have kind of, like, left the Ben Platt train.
That's so interesting. Like...
Have you listened to his second album? Because I haven't.
No. What does it have to do with this? This has nothing to do with this.
I know, but that's part of me falling off of the Ben Platt train.
What does that have to do with him?
Your Address was so good to me that I was like, give me everything Ben Platt. And then we saw Dear Evan Hansen, and now I'm completely turned off.
I know. That movie was
rough. His comments, like, really stuck with me about Dear Evan Hansen. It, like, puts a bad taste in my mouth.
If we're talking about Nepo babies, like, Ben Platt is giving Nepo baby.
Congrats on your engagement. We never talked about that on the podcast.
That's true.
Noah Galvin and Ben Platt.
How can you be off the Ben Platt train when Ben Platt and Noah Galvin are engaged?
I'm just off the Ben Platt, like, being cast in these shows for the sake of being cast in these shows.
It wouldn't be making it to Broadway without him. He's the reason it's there.
I really hope that this, like, fixes everything that the lat... Like, again, he's so talented, and I obviously wish him success, but I've just, like, kind of fallen off, which I know is crazy from me, who was, like, crying when he was calling out of Dear Evan Hansen when I had tickets.
Vocally, he serves every time.
Sometimes a little too much vibrato, but it's fine. But vocally, he serves.
Too much riffing. Look, I don't think Ben Platt is out of the running.
He is in the top five. And I can't wait when they cut away to the Tony Awards and Noah Galvin is sitting beside him, like, holding hands. Like, I can't wait.
We love that. We love to see fiancés.
But let's not have Mark Platt at the Tony Awards because I'm tired of him, too.
How can you be tired of him? If I'm picking my favorite Platt, it's Mark.
No, it's Henry.
Henry. Okay, Henry's number two. I thought you were going to say Jonah. And I was like, no, Jonah's at the bottom.
It's Henry, Ben, Jonah, Mark for me.
Mark at the top. Mark at the top.
For what he's given us.
For what he's given us so much. To be honest, the first exposure I've had to Mark Platt was I am a kid who loved DVD feature extras, special features. And he was in the Legally Blonde ones forever. And, like, so
icon.
I knew who he was for 20 plus years because he was in the Legally Blonde, like, making of the movie Legally Blonde about, like, optioning the script, blah, 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 doing all these things. And so then I was like, Ben Platt, Mark Platt's son? Like, like a Nepo baby from the start to me.
Yeah, it's true.
So Mark at the top. And then I would say Henry. Then I'm going to put Jonah Platt's wife, Courtney Ann Platt, so I think in dance alum. Then I'm going to put Ben, and then I'll put Jonah Platt.
Why do you hate Jonah so much?
I don't know, I just do.
Okay, we got to move on.
we can't be ranking our favorite members of the Platt family. I also would say Ben Platt's sisters and mother are also
from the Radio
lovely.
City show. Yeah.
Also they're nice. They're up there as well. I don't want to ignore them. Okay. Featured actress in a musical. I'm going to start with Bonnie Milligan in Kimberly Akimbo.
Yeah, agree. Again.
She's a star.
I think she was probably robbed for a nomination for Head Over Heels. And
she was great, but
her back
I don't
on
know
Broadway.
About
I mean, like, vocally? Let's talk about serving vocally.
Serving vocals. Serving vocals. Bonnie. Belting Bonnie is belting.
Belting Bonnie is back on Broadway. Wow. That's a four alliteration. Four-letter alliteration. Belting Bonnie back on Broadway.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Yes.
Yeah.
I was lucky to see her in Head Over Heels. Or was I? And so I'm happy to have a show that's maybe, like, more worthy of her talents.
Yeah.
This time.
We've heard that she's amazing in it. And I've seen, like, absolutely, a very short clip from, like, BroadwayCon of her wailing. And it's great.
Yeah.
Number two on my list, Betsy Wolff. You know how I feel about Betsy Wolff and Anne Juliet.
Me too.
I do not need to rehash my feelings. But she's on the list for sure.
Absolutely. Okay. My number two.
I think this category is very difficult.
It's hard. Featured categories are always harder because people come out of left field. People come out of left field in these categories.
Like the two men from Paradise Square last year.
Oh my God. Remember the guy from Tootsie? I'll never forget from Tootsie.
What's his name?
Andy Gordolution? Andy Gordolution? That sounds right.
Yeah, good job.
I think that is it. My third person, as previously discussed, Philippa Sue.
Yeah.
A star.
And then the next two is where I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to put her here because I think she's doing this show instead of Here Lies Love. And that's Ruthie Ann Miles.
I've also selected Ruthie Ann Miles.
They actually pushed... Is it Light in the Piazza that she was supposed to do with City Center?
Yes. Yeah,
they pushed that so that she could do Sweeney. So I don't think that she's going to be in this for, like, the long haul. Because she is doing City Center, unless she, like, does City Center for a month and then comes back type thing. There's no closing date to Sweeney, so we actually don't know.
I was going to say, is Sweeney limited or is it just...
Not permanent? At this moment, but we never know what could happen.
Right. With, like, a Star Center revival like that, I expect it to be, like, a shorter run.
Totally. Often. But Groban's like, I'm here to stay.
Yeah.
He
left Comet like after like 6-ish months. He didn't stay for like a year.
I also
he's got Christmas tour date commitments, you know?
Well, I was going to say, unlike The Music Man and Hugh Jackman, I think that anybody could walk in to play Sweeney because like Anna Lee Ashford is a draw at this point. So
for me.
And also it's Sweeney Todd.
It's Anna Lee. Yeah.
No, sorry. It's Gina DeWall.
For you, it's Gina DeWall. It's absolutely Gina DeWall. Every time it's Gina DeWall. No, for me, it's Anna Lee. Like, Anna Lee
is... Yeah, she's the one that I'd be going to see instead of Groban.
Thank goodness she's not stuck on that sitcom anymore.
No, but she is in Welcome to Chippendales, which I have not watched, but I heard great things about. So she's done so much TV that it's actually great to see her back on stage.
She has worked.
As is it great to see Ruthie Ann Miles back on stage. I feel like it's been a little bit... She had like, tragedies in her life, so it's, like, really nice to see her get to, like, shine again on Broadway.
I watched her on TV. She was on the television show All Rise, which was...
Also starring
Lindsay Mendez, which was a lovely television show. Was good. Would recommend.
Yeah.
Okay, number five here. This is where I'm going bold.
I might have also gone the same level of bold as you.
No. I'm going bold in the next category. No, this is where I'm gone rogue, let's say. Miss Carly Carmello in Bad Cinderella. Let's go.
Honestly, I heard that the stepmother is like the best part of that show.
Like, let's
and
go.
As we know,
she's a
Carly
star.
Carmello, queen.
Anything she's in, like, I'm here for it. I'm here for Carly
maybe
Carmello.
Maybe not 1776. I wasn't here for that.
We did not see 1776. But yeah, I highlighted her. Carly Carmello, featured actress in a musical for Bad Cinderella. This is where we're going to recognize this show. We're going to say Carly, a veteran of the Broadway.
Do you think they're going to pay for a spot for a performance?
Yes.
The Lord might. The Lord will,
The Lord will pay for many things. And he will pay for this.
Yeah, the Lord will. There'll probably also be, like, a Phantom closing performance.
Right. Maybe, like, the Phantom will, like, introduce Bad Cinderella, like, pass the torch or something.
That would be iconic.
Or they'll just be performing Bad Cinderella, and then, like, the Phantom in the boat will just, like, row on by.
She actually uses the spray paint to draw a mask instead of the A. My final spot, which I feel like could happen, but also unknown because I don't know if they're going to put two people from the same show into a category. I'm going Ally Mazzi, Kimberly Kimbo.
Mm, I thought you were going to say Melanie LaBerry, but Ally Mazzi also good.
I do love Melanie LaBerry. There's also a potential here for a Patina Miller. There's a potential here for a Julia Lester. Like, there's a lot of, like, double people Robin from Herter. Multiple shows. Robin Herter is not going to happen. Not going to happen. Sorry, Robin. We love you. Soli Pfeiffer could have been here, but I don't think she's going to be here. Oh, I had her in Best Actress.
I did have her.
She's barely in that show.
Oh, really? I mean, I was going to say you've seen it, so you would know more, but I had her in Best Actress. Interesting.
I really thought they would have beefed up that character, but they really did not. Hmm.
So is it like truly like Casey Likes was the star and then like
No, Chris
else?
Wood.
Really?
Well, Casey Likes and Chris Wood, but it's like told through Casey Likes' perspective.
But like thinking about the movie, right?
No,
like,
it's the movie script. It is the movie script.
But to me, maybe it's just like
Kate Hudson
was so effervescent in that role. Like, to me, the movie really, is so much of her.
They
and
really
not
gave
so much of Billy
that
Crudup.
Character like bad songs that you couldn't like grab onto her. That was the hard thing about it. I also like the script writing for the movie like didn't translate very well on stage. Sure. That she was kind of like stuck in the background, which is very unfortunate because. Soli Pfeiffer, stunning.
Beautiful.
Voice.
I think sometimes we don't give Kate Hudson the credit. And, like...
Are you about to give her some Glass Onion credit right now?
Like, I was going to say, like, she's fantastic in Glass Onion. But I think, like, maybe she doesn't always apply herself. But I, like, to hear that, you know, that she really made... I can't remember the character's name right now.
Me either.
Penny Lane.
Yes.
She really, like, made Penny Lane, like, a star in that.
Yeah,
movie. And I was like, girl, I want you to be doing more things. I know. If you have the talent.
I know.
She is great in Glass Onion, though, so.
Yeah. Back to Ali Mazi for a
back
second.
Back to none of those people being nominated. Back to Almost Famous is getting wiped out. Nothing.
No, I know you love Ali Mazi. It's been a long time since she has been on Broadway.
I
didn't know that she was in Kimberly Akimbo until, like, a few months ago. And then have heard that she... is amazing because she's always amazing, so it's
vocally?
No surprise. I think if she ends up there, it wouldn't be shocking to me, but I just don't know if they're going to choose both Bonnie and Allie.
Right.
So,
and Bonnie is probably like a showier role, so
she plays
easier to get behind.
Kimberly's aunt. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who Allie plays.
Her mother. She plays her mother.
Oh, great. We love that. Okay, who's your winner?
Carole Carmello. No, I'm kidding. This is difficult. I think Betsy Wolf. Let's just.
I was gonna say. I am also agreeing. I think the campaign started a long time ago, and
we started it. And we started it.
I started it in Toronto, and I'm continuing it now. Obviously, I've said this on so many episodes. This is her greatest performance to date. She's never sounded better in her entire life, and I think it's so great that, like, if she is nominated, which I think she will be for sure, but if she does win for this role, that it's for a role that she's like completely obsessed with. So all around, I'd be very happy if she won, and possibly the sole representation for Anne Juliet winning a Tony this year could be Betsy Wolf.
Maybe. We shall see.
A show that we love, but
absolutely. But it's a packed season. It's a packed season.
Yes. Okay, moving on to featured actor. Who do you have?
Okay, this to me was the most difficult category.
I agree. There's like not very many people in here, but we also could be dumb and just don't know.
That's where I'm kind of going with this. So I'm going to start out with Alex Newell in Shucked. This is where I have placed him.
Yeah, I have him here too. Again, we know very little about Shucked, but we can tell you that it is corn shucking, not oyster shucking.
Yes.
And that's really it. The
songs
are
pretty.
It's
a cast of six people. It's a cast of only six people, I think.
Yeah, the lead girl, or I don't know if she's the lead girl. She might be the featured one, but she was like Anna in the Frozen tour for a long time.
Oh, that's why she looks so familiar.
Yeah.
Caroline, I was like, why does that girl's face look familiar?
She has a Disney princess face, yes.
Caroline Innerbickler, does that sound right? Something
yeah.
like that. I had her in my best actress kind of like long list, but
right.
I don't know enough about Shucked to commit to that at this moment, but
no.
I know enough about Alex Newell to say they're fab.
What theater is Shucked?
The Nederlander.
Oh, ooh. Sorry to them. Well, the last show I saw there was Mr. Saturday Night, so.
Oh, God.
Pretty Woman.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. The trajectory of that theater is not great. And then probably like plays.
Yeah. No, it's pretty big. I think it's
huge.
Musical.
The stage is so far back.
Was Rent there?
Oh, maybe?
Was
I'm not
Newsies
sure.
there?
also maybe, unsure. Oh, but Newsies would work there because they have those big, like, industrial sets.
Yeah, I'm like 90% sure Newsies was at the Nederlander.
Whereas that was a choice for Mr. Saturday Night because there was, like, not a lot going on stage.
It was at the Nederlander. So I believe Rent was also at the Nederlander. So, okay. You know, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. We shall see.
Was that your first one? Was Alex your first one?
Alex is my first person. So.
Okay. My next nominee is Mr. Gavin Creel. He is playing Cinderella's Prince / The Wolf in Into the Woods. There are many people that I guess could be picked out in this show for featured actor, but Gavin's is the more showy role in comparison to the rest of the men, minus the baker. Also, he's amazing. We love Gavin Creel.
Love him. I do not have this person on my list. And I also don't have... No, sorry. Look, this is a weird category. It's a weird category.
Don't even know who you would choose for a winner if he's not on your list.
Oh, really? That's your winner? That's so weird. Okay, I'm going to now... Because now we have this difference, and maybe this is where I'm going wrong. Justin Cooley from Kimberly Akimbo
is my next person in the He's not on my category. List. But right, if he were on my list, he might be a winner.
Yeah, it's difficult. I don't know. But he's... Justin Cooley from Kimberly Akimbo is my number two person on my list.
I actually think we might have a completely different list here.
It's possible.
I've gone Stark Sands and Juliet here.
Interesting.
At first I was like, I don't think he's going to be here. I also have him in blue and everybody else is in red because I have him interchangeable with Paulo Cézanne. So I think it could be either of them. I don't think it's going to be both of them.
Paulo Cézanne is the star of this and I have neither of them on my list here.
There are no men. If you nominated Jordan Fisher, I am exiting out
right
now.
I did not nominate Jordan Fisher.
Thank God.
My next person is Kevin Dell'Aquila from Some Like It Hot, playing a random supporting character.
Not on my list.
We're going
bold.
Not
even on my long list.
We're going rogue, okay? I've been burned before and I will not be burned again.
Yeah, but last time you made this mistake was with David Paymer and you were burned.
We both picked David Paymer.
I know, but that was more of a like... It should have happened, and it didn't.
He was nominated for an Oscar, okay?
But you're going bold because of Paradise Square. I see where you are.
And Paradise Square, like, bruh. Okay, actually, no, my Paradise Square nominees are still to come. My true Paradise Square nominees are still to come.
You have more randoms in the featured actor category?
Girl, my next two, true randoms. True randoms.
Okay, I'm going to go next here because I did a little bit of research, and previously...
Me too.
There has been... one featured character from Sweeney Todd that has been nominated, and it's normally Toby, so I am nominating Gaten. How do we say his last name?
I didn't write it down for myself.
Matarazzo, I believe is his last name. I would love this for Gaten because I think he's actually quite talented, and not that Toby has that much to do in Sweeney Todd other than sing Not While I'm Around. It is a role that has been previously nominated, so that was the only knowledge I went off of.
So, kind of based on the same criteria, there is a featured role in Parade that has been previously nominated for Tonys.
But we don't... Who's playing?
I just looked at who played it at City Center, and I just assumed it was the same person.
Smart.
So, Alex Joseph Grayson at City Center played Jim Conley, and so I have him in my featured actor in a musical.
Okay. Can't wait when we go through these nominations in May and, like, one of us is correct and the other one is so wrong. Or it's going to be a combination of both.
It'll be a combination. Or we'll both be extremely wrong.
Right.
Do you have any more people or should I add
my final person. You put him in lead. I've put him in featured. Jordan Donica for Camelot. He's playing Lancelot. Was he not in the original City Center Into the Woods?
Yes, he was Rapunzel's prince.
Yes, and then he moved to do Phantom. He was, like, playing Raoul for a little bit.
Yeah.
Gort is stunning voice. That man has a stunning voice.
I'm, 90% sure I saw Jordan Donica do My Fair Lady. But, need to confirm. Yeah, I saw him do My Fair Lady at Lincoln Center. He was, like, the other boyfriend kind of guy. He sang, like, On the Street Where You Live. Anyway, he was beautiful voice. Beautiful
voice. Yeah, his voice is beautiful.
He's back at the Vivian Beaumont. Okay, my final person.
Wow, he's really done, like, sorry, like, prestigious shows. Congrats to Jordan Donica.
Prestige, Jordan Donica. My final person, I have little stars here because I have no clue who it's going to be. But my thing is, someone in New York, New York will be nominated as a featured actor. This show is written by Kander and Ebb. It's directed by Susan Stroman. You don't think there's going to be another role nominated. And it's definitely going to be a man because I looked at the IMDb. There were a lot of men in this movie. So I am saying a random man that I don't know who they are yet in New York, New York. No name.
Can't wait for them to win the Tony Award.
And they're about to win. That's my winner pick. No, I'm kidding. I don't know who my winner pick is.
Also on this list, if we were to like do a long, long list here, Jordan Fisher is here. He's playing Anthony in Sweeney Todd. We both think that the Tony voters might have a little bit of a bitter taste in their mouth from the last time Jordan Fisher was on Broadway and caused quite a stir when he left Dear Evan Hansen. People remember Jordan, just to let you remember.
But then he got hired again, so.
I know he got hired again, but, like, I remember. And he is not a draw for me to see Sweeney Todd.
No, I don't care about seeing Jordan Fisher and
things. Although, can't wait for Happily Ever After to return to Magic Kingdom in April. The best thing he's ever done is that. And also his Dancing with the Stars career was pretty good, too.
He was pretty good on that. Another Jordan Dobson in Bad Cinderella.
The Spare. That was comedy. That was true comedy.
That was funny. Spare. Should we watch... You know what? My friend who I saw on Saturday night, I don't see her that often, but when I see her, I love to see her. And she was talking about how she watches Diana the Musical on Netflix all the time. And I'm like, girl, yes, me too.
Who?
Vanessa. She's like, she watches Diana the Musical all the time. I'm like, amazing.
I didn't know that there were other people except for us that watch Diana on Netflix.
She loves it.
Although I have told like at least 10 people to watch it. And I don't think any of them have, but like I keep
keep pushing it.
Yeah. Another person on the long list... Not going to get nominated because it closed way too soon, but sad. Zach Pizer for K-pop. He was apparently like really, really great in this show. I feel so bad because like I loved him so much in Dear Evan Hansen in Toronto. I think he has such a great voice and I feel like this would have been like a potential breakout role for him. But unfortunately, K-pop suffered. And then, like, if they want to do a little bit of celeb here, although he's not a true celeb, but, like, Chris Wood could be in this category.
No, sorry. No.
But, like, let's have him and Melissa Benoist at the Tonys.
Kal-El? No.
Kal-El? Kai.
Kai. My kind of, like, dream nominee here is... I don't even know if this would be possible, but Kennedy Kanagawa in Into the Woods.
I have him
Milky
here,
Way.
Too.
Like...
Someone commented this on the boards the other day to be like, is there a world where we see Kennedy nominated and win? I'm like, in our world, yes, sure.
I think they need to bring out Milky White at the Tonys.
I think they're going to do the opening number and he'll be there.
Oh, because he'll still be on tour, so maybe.
Hmm.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
No, but it would be Sarah on stage.
Yes, but like if the show is closed and is not running anywhere, like they're not gonna do it. It's very rare.
But if they're like gonna win Best Revival, then they're gonna do a performance.
Well, we'll see. We will see if they're gonna win Best Revival.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I think they're probably like in the top two of like the winner for Best Revival.
But the fact that they're going on tour and will still be on tour
is
at that point, like costumes are there.
But also,
there's a reason it's to pay for ad dollars. Like, there's
let's have Milky White present an award because why not?
I need to see Kennedy's faces. And also, whatever's going on with Shucked. There's, like, more people in Shucked. I don't know. So,
I also have Stephen Boyer from Kimberly Akimbo on this list.
I also have him on this list because he was nominated for a Lortel or a Drama Desk. One of those. I also put him, but I didn't pick him.
Yeah.
Because I put Justin Cooley here instead.
Okay, who's your winner on this list? Mine's Gavin Creel because I couldn't decide on anybody else.
Okay, I'm going to go with Justin Cooley from Kimberly Akimbo.
Can't wait till he's in the lead actor and he actually beats everybody on the lead actor list.
He beats Groban. He beats Platt.
No, I don't. I still think Jay Harrison. Well, actually, who knows? It could be Josh Groban.
Do you want to do score?
Score? Yeah. So we both have 7 scores listed. I will just name them very quickly. Kimberly Kimbo, Jeanine Tesori, Almost Famous, Tom Kitt, Shucked, Brandi Clark, and Shane McAnally, New York, New York, Kander and Ebb, plus Lynn, Bad Cinderella, The Lord, ALW, Some Like It Hot, Shaman and Whitman, and K-Pop, Helen Park, and Max Vernon. We have heard that this is Shaman and Whitman's best score since Hairspray, so that's very exciting. Also, let's know what's the song that's in it from Smash?
Let's Be Bad.
Let's Be Bad. That's what
let's
I thought.
Let's Be Bad.
Let's Be Bad is in it, which
we'll do
is
it at the Tonys.
Iconic.
We'll do Let's Be Bad at the Tonys.
Yes. Who are your... I mean, let's just eliminate right now. Almost Famous, not getting nominated. Yeah. Bad Cinderella, not getting nominated. K-Pop... Not
K-pop
getting nominated. So that leaves us with Kimberly Kimbo, Shucked, New York, New York, and Some Like It Hot.
I agree with you that that's the category.
I'm going with Kimberly Kimbo.
Agree with you. Jeanine Tesori and David Lindsay Abaire on the lyrics, because he also wrote the play. Mm-hmm. I think that's really good. I think what could maybe be a spoiler is Kander and Ebb.
Yes, agree.
And Lynn.
and Lynn.
And Lynn. There might be, like, people want to honor them in some way. It depends on how good it is or not, but mm-hmm. I think that's kind of, like, the potential spoiler. But I do think, like, Kimberly Akimbo is, like, the darling of the season at this time, especially for a new musical. So I agree with you there. That's the
also one. Not something that I have written down a list for, but I do think that Kimberly Akimbo might be the front runner for book right now, too.
I agree, because it's based on a play. So it was a play originally, the story already, like, fleshed out. I absolutely agree with that. Like, it's not going to be A Beautiful Noise. It's not going to be Bad Cinderella.
It's not going to be Bad Cinderella. I'm kidding.
Okay, my, like, for book, this is wild, but, like, how do we feel about Shucked? I don't even know who wrote it, but how do we feel about Shucked?
I don't know. I literally, like, there's nothing even online about Shucked, because I feel like the out of town that they did was like 4 days long and that was it. Starring Taylor Trench. Where are you, Taylor Trench? Because you would have been nominated if you were on Broadway.
What's going on with Taylor Trench? And then the other book that's kind of interesting is the Anne Juliet book, written by David West Reed, of Schitt's Creek fame.
It's not my favorite book we've discussed at length.
It's definitely floating in that category. Like, it's definitely there.
I also think that, like, with Kimberly Akimbo, like, the subject matter is quite interesting. So it's not, like, well, it's, like, play material. It's not, like, cutesy musical material. So that's why, like, I think it, like, has an edge.
Yes, they weren't like, oh, we're writing a musical and then writing scenes around it. No, they had the structure of the story.
Maybe we should read the play.
We should. We should read the play. We should be reading plays.
We should be reading plays.
Okay. Director? Can we do director of a musical?
I didn't pick five, but I can.
That's okay. Okay. I will quickly go through director.
Actually, yeah. Go through and then give us your five and I'll agree or disagree.
Okay. So, Almost Famous, directed by Jeremy Herron, will not be nominated.
I didn't even put it on this list.
Anne Juliet, directed by Luke Shepherd. No.
No.
K-Pop, directed by Daddy Bergman. No. A Beautiful Noise, directed by Michael Mayer. No.
It's Michael Mayer?
It's Michael Mayer. It's Michael Mayer. I looked that up earlier today. It's Michael Mayer.
No.
Yep. Bad Cinderella, directed by Lawrence Connor. No.
Oh, sorry. What about... I mean, I know we said no Bad Cinderella book, but isn't it Emerald Fennell?
Yeah, it is Emerald Fennell who wrote Promising Young Woman.
Hmm.
I don't care, though. Hmm. It's not getting nominated.
She might be nominated just to have her there.
She's not that famous. Like,
no, she's not.
She's,
but...
Speaking of Camilla from The Crown... True. Emerald Fennell. From season 3 and 4 of The Crown.
Everything leads back.
Everything is always connected. Okay. Lear de Vaisonnette for Into the Woods. I'm saying no. Jeffrey L. Page and Diane Paulus for 1776. I'm saying no.
Oh my God, I forgot about Diane Paulus doing 1776.
How could you ever forget? And this is where I think it kind of gets interesting. Okay. Let's start with Bartlett Shear and Camelot.
Yeah.
You think yes?
It's Bartlett Shear. Everyone loves Bartlett Shear.
I did not pick him.
Well, wait, hang on. Let me count what's here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Ooh, maybe he's number 6.
Yes, I think so. So here's who's left. Here's who's
actually
left.
No, sorry. He's number 5 to me. Number 6 is Jack O'Brien Shucked.
Okay, no, I have Jack O'Brien in.
Okay, that's fine.
So yeah, so maybe that's kind of like the differences. Okay, so Bartlett Shear for Camelot. It really depends on what Camelot's doing. You know what I mean?
Between like Camelot and Shucked, if you take those away, the other ones are all locks.
For me, the other four are Jessica Stone for Kimberly Akimbo.
Yeah.
Casey Nikoloff for Some Like It Hot.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Stroman for New York, New York.
Oh, sorry, we did differ here. We discussed this off the mic.
Oh, right. You have Michael Arden for Parade.
Michael Arden for Parade, and then Tommy Kail for Sweeney.
Yeah, that's my last person. Tommy Kail for Sweeney. So I've got...
I think Michael Arden and Tommy Kail are locked. So sorry to Bartlett Shear. You've had your chance.
You think? Okay, so you... So I have... Yeah.
When was
so
the
I
last have... time Michael Arden was nominated? Once on this Island?
Was he nominated for Once on this Island?
I don't know, even know if he was. But how could he not be?
I don't remember. I don't remember if he was or not. It only had like... It didn't have that many nominations. But was he nominated for Spring Awakening?
Oh, Def West?
I feel like
he should have been.
But he should
see, if he's never been nominated, then he'll be nominated. Let me search. You don't think... I love Michael Arden.
I do. I love Michael Arden too. He directs.
You know what...
You know what I mean?
He has vision. Is there a possibility here? And like, immediately tell me no if I'm wrong, that A Christmas Carol could be considered for something this season, because Michael Arden also directed that.
He did direct that, but that's a play, I would say.
I know, but like, so would possible. It even be in contention?
Possible.
Because if they were going to put Michael Arden in, he could be double nominee.
And the other person who I haven't brought up, sorry, is Wayne Cilento, who's directing and choreographing Dansin.
Sorry to Dansin, but like not on this list anywhere.
So the thing about Dansin is that it's a review, and so people aren't really like playing parts as much. People have been nominated for full dance shows before, but I don't know enough about Dansin right now, and I just don't know if anyone will really be like in that like featured moment enough to get a nomination. So we'll see.
Agree. And I'd also like to jump in here to say that Michael Arden was nominated for both Spring Awakening and Once on this Island.
Good. I don't know why I doubted him. So
I don't know why I did either, but I was also ready to be like, if he's never been nominated, he has to be nominated.
He has to win. Yeah. So I think it's possible for Michael Arden to get nominated.
And he also won the Outer Critics Circle for Spring Awakening. But like that production, so damn good. That bootleg.
That was directed.
You know what I mean? It was so good.
When I see his work, I'm like, someone directed this. So, you don't always see the director, but I see Michael Arden.
I'm very interested in Tommy Kail directing
Tommy Kail's Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
Yes. My five are Jessica Stone for Kimberly Akimbo, Casey Nikoloff for Some Like It Hot, Jack O'Brien for Shucked, Thomas Kail for Sweeney Todd, and Susan Stroman for New York, New York.
I think Susan Stroman gets there just because she's Susan Stroman.
She's Susan Stroman. She's amazing. She's the best.
And then I would say Casey Nicola probably double nominee because he'll be nominated for best choreographer.
Well, Susan Stroman also doing double. Cilento also doing double.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Yeah, it is very exciting.
What do you think about Jennifer Weber for Anne Juliet? She also did K-pop, which R.I.P.
Oh, the choreography?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know either
because I don't love it. I know. I saw a tweet the other day to be like, this choreography is amazing. It's so hard. It's so this. I'm like, is it? Did we watch the same show? Because I thought it was simple.
It is. I like it because I think it really suits the show.
The style.
It suits the style of music. It's like backup dancer, Dua Lipa backup dancer choreography.
Yeah, great.
This is so bad.
You know that they all do it now? When we saw it in Toronto, it was always like when they do Roar like again for the audience right during the bows. Like Lorna is at the top of the triangle and then there's like the V and then the ensemble is like doing that move. But now they all do it. Like Paulo Suzette is doing it too.
Sure. I like that. That's my favorite when like lead actors are doing choreography. Like at the end of the prom where Beth Level's like...
It's great. It's so good.
So funny. So I like it because I think it suits the moment, but I don't know if it's nomination worthy. Like, so it's tough. I also think
Dansin will be nominated for
Dansin,
sure.
Yes. Unless it's terrible, but like it's Fosse inspired. Like it'll be there.
New York, New York.
Yeah. Some Like It Hot again. Like
We've heard the tap is like out of this world and some like it hot.
Camelot probably has really like beautiful dancing.
I'm sure.
I'm gonna pick right now Camelot for costumes. I am just like calling it.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know enough about Camelot to know.
Pick a show for set. A random show for set.
Oh, we haven't seen like so many of these like pictures though. I feel like New York, New York set's probably really good.
Interesting. I am going
to also pick... Sweeney.
Sweeney. I know. I'm going to pick Bad Cinderella for set.
Oh my God. Why are you giving this show...
What if it does the thing that it did in the West End? What if it does the thing it did in the West End? I don't know if it's going to do the thing, but what if it does do the thing?
I hope it does the thing.
I mean, that theater in the West End was like already rigged to do that, and I don't know if they're going to be able to do that in...
They're at the Imperial, which...
They're at the Imperial?
Well, Comet was there, so maybe.
Comet was there.
Maybe they can do something fun.
Which theater is Here Lies Love going into again?
The Broadway.
Right.
Very exciting stuff. That's going to win set in 2024.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's do
Wait, revival. Pick a lighting. We don't even know lighting. Anything that's happening, but pick a lighting.
Sweeney Todd.
I also think Sweeney Todd. It just feels like it's gonna you got to give it to the murder
categories.
Show.
It's going
to
get those technical categories. It's going to be like, this is a show.
Yeah. Okay, revival?
Yeah, let's do revival first, and then let's do...
Remind us the six revivals.
The six revivals are Into the Woods, 1776, Parade, Dancin', Sweeney Todd, Camelot. I have picked four.
Of the six?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Agree. Let's knock off the two right now.
1776.
Yep, and Dancin'.
And Dancin'.
Sorry.
Sorry to them. Yes, so that leaves us with Into the Woods, Parade, Sweeney Todd, Camelot.
What a category.
What a category.
Like, truly, what a category.
Two Sondheim shows, A Lerner and Lowe, and
Jason Sondheim Brown. And two encores.
So true. And then Camelot.
And Camelot. And Vivian, like, it's just the fact that it's playing at the Vivian Beaumont already puts it at the top. So it's so, like, it's so hard.
Okay, I'm going to give the edge here to Sweeney. Because I think it's exciting. It's got a star-studded cast. And I think just the anticipation is there. I think Into the Woods is going to be closed already. So it won't be, like, fresh in people's minds. I think Parade, as beautiful as it is, it's going to be slightly smaller. Mm-hmm. And I think Camelot is going to probably be beautiful, but won't have, like, the wow factor of Sweeney. And also has the disadvantage of not being written by Stephen Sondheim. So Sweeney is my pick. I'm just saying, he just died, like, a year ago.
I understand. I'm also going Sondheim, but I'm going Into the Woods. Everyone was so obsessed with it for, like, over a year, because that Encores production was, like, so long ago at this point.
No, it wasn't. It was last May.
That's almost a year ago by the Tony Awards.
Yes, but, like, it has been within this year.
But it's still going to be on tour. Yes. Like, people are still talking about it. People are still, like... thinking about it, and I feel like, I don't know, if Sarah is nominated, if I just can't see people forgetting about this show if Sarah's nominated, because she won't let people forget about this show. People won't forget. I just think that it's like one of those things. The thing about it closing early is 100% true, but there was no way that they could run both of those at the same time.
No, but I also think of the Tonys as like an advertisement for future Broadway, so I think people are more inclined to be voting for things that you could still see and want to feature things that you're still able to purchase a ticket to, which Into the Woods is
less. How did that turn out for Company?
Not well.
But, it will be
but they tried at least. They at least tried.
Oh my God, it's going to be two, like, no matter what, I think it's going to be two back-to-back years of revival Sondheim.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Parade will just steal it, but we shall see.
It depends on the Platt effect. We'll have to see what happens. Maybe it is as good as everyone says. Maybe we are the ones that are...
I'm sure it's wonderful. But if six revivals, you know, something's got to win, something's got to lose.
The problem here is that we're so early here that we don't even have an ounce of, like, a preview performance of Sweeney to know if it's going to be good or not. What if it's
trash?
We just
have those pictures. I mean, it could be, but
it's
I don't think
gonna
it will
be. It's not going to be. I'm confident it's going to be very good, what if it's trash?
It will be, at worst, respectable. Like, at worst, it will be, like, a respectable production of a show.
New musicals. To quickly run through them again, we have K-pop, Almost Famous, Kimberly Kimbo, New York, New York, Shucked, Some Like It Hot, A Beautiful Noise, Bad Cinderella, and Anne Juliet. How many are you putting here?
I'm selecting 5. It might be 6, though, but I'm selecting 5.
I have not selected 5. I'm selecting 5 right now. Okay. Sorry to A Beautiful Noise.
Sorry to A Beautiful Noise.
You're out.
Sorry
to Almost Famous. Sorry to K-pop.
Sorry to Bad Cinderella.
2, 3, 4. You don't know that I didn't put Bad Cinderella on my list. It's not on my list. Yeah. It can't be 6 based on this list because that means that Bad Cinderella, A Beautiful Noise, Almost Famous, or K-pop are nominated. And in what world?
You're right. So I think we're ending on the same list. Kimberly Akimbo, number 1.
Yep.
Anne Juliet, number 2.
Yep.
Some Like It Hot, number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Shucked, number 4. And New York, New York, number 5.
Yes.
And that's where we're sitting right now.
Maybe it's going to be 4.
Maybe. What would they cut?
Shucked.
Shucked.
Yeah.
We need to see more of Shucked.
Or Some Like It Hot, depending on reviews of Shucked.
Right. Yeah.
For some reason, New York, New York to me is like a show that everyone's going to love. I don't know why, but like that's what's... Well, because it's Kanner and Ebb, that's why.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know enough. We've only heard these like 2 songs. It's just not enough information right now. Which is, again, the whole purpose of this exercise. But not enough information.
But actually, it feels like more information than we've had in previous years.
For sure, for sure. But yeah, so we shall see.
I think we have the same winner.
Kimberly Akimbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just doing something different. We haven't seen it, but I just know it's doing something different.
I think, like, especially a musical, like, is put over the edge by having a good book. Like, good songs are not enough, but by having a good book, that really just, like, elevates it so much. And I think Kimberly Akimbo being based on a play written by David Lindsay Abaire, and then having him work on this musical, Janine Tesori always delivers. Like, she knows how to write, like, the emotional heart of a character. I think it has all the right puzzle pieces. Yeah. Like Victoria Clark. It has like beautiful puzzle pieces that, that really bring it together.
In my heart, it's Anne Juliet, but it's not happening. And I'm fine with that. It's my musical.
Anne Juliet is my show.
I can't wait till they perform at the Tonys. It's my musical. It is going to be Roar, isn't it? Actually, if Lorna's not nominated, it probably won't be.
Just if it's Betsy only sing, that's
if it's
the
only
it
Betsy, then yes, just give us that.
No, they'll want to do like an advertisement for the show, so they'll want to do something high energy.
Then I feel like so they did. It's my Alan Can't Feel My Face on Fallon, which was not great, but like it's fine. No, they're not going to do It's My Life. It's the biggest spoiler of the show.
You need the turntable for Problem. Can't Feel My Face.
It was
you
very.
Also, maybe need Romeo to sing on a track is what you also need, maybe.
He sounds great on the cast recording. That's all I'll say.
And that's good.
Yeah. Ben Walker on the long, long, long list for Best Lead Actor. In my heart, nominated. You know who else nominated for featured? Philippe Arroyo.
Philippe Arroyo. That's what I was going to say. We haven't talked about him, but Philippe Arroyo was on my long list. Let's talk about that.
And he can move up to the short list in my heart, but he won't.
Let's cut random guy from New York, New York.
I'll replace Gayton with Philippe, and then I would have him win.
But yeah, so I think that's that.
That's that.
We shall see in May.
Yeah, May 2nd is the Tony nomination date. Also, I feel like we're relatively short on this episode here, even though it's been an hour and a half.
You know, we've done well. We've done well.
We've done well. Yeah, all of this could change. There could be a surprise announcement in the next week of a show that's going to transfer, but that is part of the fun of this. And I'm like patiently waiting for eligibility to be announced for this season because it's crazy that it hasn't been announced yet.
It is crazy. It really is crazy.
We're not talking about plays, but we wish Casey Levy and Brandon Uranowitz the best.
At Leopoldstadt, yes.
Which I listened to him say the other day, it's not Leopoldstadt, it's Leopoldstadt. Or okay. Leopoldstadt.
Okay, I'm going to let you say that, but me as a non-Jewish person, I don't think I'm going to be pronouncing it that way. I just don't think so.
I can't say it because it's part of my obsession, but I'll talk about it in a second. But I heard him say it, and he was actually talking about what you were talking about with Ben Platt and Michaela Diamond about, like, representation on stage. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we always wish Brandon Uranowitz the best, but yeah. I do think that he is the one to watch. Apparently it's featured actor in a play, although it's a very heavy celebrity season. We've got like Samuel L. Jackson, Denzel Washington's son. I can't remember your name right now.
John David.
Yes. Jessica Chastain is coming to Broadway in like a month. So there's a lot of like heavy hitters.
Is Amy Adams doing the Glass Menagerie in the West End?
Yes, the West End.
Not in New York.
No. Was the Doll's House supposed to be in the West End, or was it always supposed to be on Broadway?
I think it was always Broadway.
With her? But
I think so.
Actually, that's a great cast too. There's like a lot of like celebs in that too. So yeah, it's a very celeb heavy season. I'm sure the new Tony Awards venue will be full of celebrities. So yeah, that's our way too early Tony nominations. And with that being said, it is now time for our obsession of the week.
So as I was preparing for this episode, it's going to sound last minute. I had a different obsession, but then I changed it. As I was preparing for this episode,
it's going to sound last minute, as if every episode is not last minute.
Excuse me. I am prepared.
Me too.
So as I was preparing for this episode, I was like, let's listen to some of the songs from some of the musicals this year that I hadn't heard, so I can be informed, so I can be an educated expert on the podcast. And so I went on to Spotify and I just put in Almost Famous because I really hadn't heard much from it.
Except for
even though
everybody's coming together.
And so I put in Almost Famous, even though we nominated it for absolutely nothing.
Sorry,
but
talented.
I was like, let's just be interesting. Let's just look, listen. I also listened to like the Kimberly Akimbo stuff. I listened to some Shocked, whatever. But the song that really stuck with me was the song No Friends from Almost Famous the Musical, sung by Casey Likes. But I am not supposed to make friends. It muddies all the waters because of the message it sends. So I am not supposed to make friends. No friends. It sounds like Rocket Man or like Space Oddity by David Bowie. Like, it has that energy, and vocally he sounds amazing.
We love Casey Likes.
And I was like, if this whole musical sounds like this, I think I would like it. And it turns out it doesn't. And it turns out it was bad, and that's okay. Not all musicals are good, but sometimes bad musicals have a good song, and I really, really like this song. So
although when you sent it to me, I was like, have no idea where this was in the show. Like, not a single clue.
That's so
funny.
Oh my
god, someone that we didn't mention, but she's not going to be nominated, but like Anika Larson. Yes. However, I think the main downfall to Almost Famous is that she has three solos. Three solos.
Okay, so like in the movie, it's Frances McDormand, right? Who, amazing. Love. But like, Anika Larson
three
is
Frances solos?
McDormand.
Three solos is so
That's
many songs for like a side character mother to sing.
You know, after Dear Evan Hansen, everyone's like, we got the next So Big So Small up in here, and every show is trying to give you So Big So Small, and no shows do it like Dear Evan Hansen did.
I actually think the best song in Almost Famous, minus like Tiny Dancer, which I know is, and what's the song that was also like in the movie Wolf Dog, is that what it's called?
Isn't that what the band's called?
Maybe. They sing a song. That's the best part of the whole show. The bows are the best part.
Sure.
But there's a song that opens Act 2 that Casey Likes sings. I don't know what it's called, but it's very good. He has such a good voice, and I really hope that this
amazing.
Is not like the end
it
of him.
Be.
I put it out into the universe that I think he could potentially be Marty McFly, but I don't know that he's a big enough like draw. Although, does Back to the Future need a name player? It's Back to the Future. Unknown. I mean, in our dreams, Marty McFly is Antonio Cipriano, but...
Sure. Our dream is he's in all shows, but are you still watching National Treasure?
No, I watched the first episode and I've moved on. But I heard it gets better.
Oh, okay. It's a Disney show. It's a Disney Channel show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Sorry, I am. We're going to stop like associating the two of them together at some point. But something that we never discussed on this podcast is that Renee is starring in the Mean Girls movie.
Right. I thought you were going to talk about Renee's album.
Her album slays. Great. But like she is playing Regina in the Mean Girls movie. But the more exciting part is that Jaquel Spivey is playing Damien, which is like thrilling to me. And Ali E. Cravalho, is that, I think that's how you say her name. She's Janice, which I just saw a picture. She is in Sunset Boulevard with Stephanie J. Block, like right now at the Kennedy Center. So she's like making her musical rounds, which is exciting. But like, I love that we've kept Renee as Regina because everyone should see that performance.
It's funny, like right before that was announced, she had kind of been like, someone asked her about Regina and she's like, I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
And then like a week later, it's like, hey.
Yeah.
She really threw us off the scent. No, Renee, I think it's a good fit for her.
Renee posted a cryptic tweet that she is coming to Toronto. So we'll see.
Let's go on tour. She's going on
for
tour.
For a concert.
Okay. Tara, what's your obsession? Let's go.
So my obsession of the week, also last minute, but I started listening to, because I've seen it literally like a million times advertised to me on Instagram, but I've started listening to Stephanie J. Block's podcast, Stages podcast, which is Stephanie J. Block and Merrily Fairbanks. And the first episode I listened to, because I was like, wow, gateway here for me is Brandon Uranowitz, because they are obviously like that falsetto's life was amazing. You know that we love the side-by-side with Susan Blackwell. But this was a more, like, serious take of Brandon Uranowitz that I hadn't seen. And they did that, like, personality test to find out if you're, like, an introvert or an extrovert. And they were talking about how they think that those tests actually change based on the characters that they're playing, because he was so living in this, like, Leopoldstadt world that he is so... not like depressed, but living in a very like dark space that he thinks that his answers would have been different. Anyway, he was talking about Ragtime and Ragtime in Toronto and how he was fired as a...
I listened to a podcast with him as well and I heard this story.
But he's like very traumatized by this. And he said he's still like unpacking this in his age right now. That like it's very difficult for him. He talked about a little bit about the audition process, and then they obviously talked about how their like immediate like love affair at the audition process for falsettos. But that episode is not my obsession of the week. I listened to this morning Sebastian Arcellus on their podcast.
Aww.
The two of them together are just like so obsessed with each other, and it's so
That's
lovely.
Nice.
And speaking of nepotism, Stephanie J. Block was like, you know, nepotism sometimes works when you're married to someone that's very talented like Sebastian. She's like, you better believe when they told me that I was on the short list for Into the Woods that I said, what about my husband? So he wasn't even like looking to audition for the role.
Wow.
And she put it out there. He had said that he played the baker in college. He wasn't studying theater at the time. He wanted to go into politics, which I think is so funny because he was on like
Madam
House
Secretary.
Of Cards. Oh, Madam Secretary. Was he on House of Cards also? Or was it just Madam Secretary? Maybe both.
He might have been in House of Cards. He might have been both.
But he always kind of
plays
Madam
Secretary.
Political characters. So it's funny that in his like acting career, he went to that life. But they both had like not professionally been in a Stephen Sondheim show until...
He was in House of Cards.
In House of Cards. They both
and Madam Secretary.
Wow. Iconic. They had both not been in a Stephen Sondheim show like in their professional careers.
Wow.
And Stephanie was saying that like it was devastating to her when he died because she was not in the running for Into the Woods at the moment. And she was like, this man that I feel like so much of my theatrical identity is like, he has given me my theatrical identity. I've never like worked on a show with him. So she said that when they were casting Into the Woods, it just like kind of brought a whole new like meaning post his death. She is a wonderful speaker and a great interviewer, and I highly recommend this podcast. But listening to the two of them talk and how much they, like, one, adore each other, and two, adore theater, and would literally drop everything for their careers is, like, so interesting. And, yeah, so the two I listened to were Brandon Uranowitz and Sebastian Arcellus. I recommend both of those. There's a Bonnie Milligan episode that I have downloaded to listen to next, but I kind of love that, like, she's venturing into this world because... we forget that Stephanie's been here for a really long time and has just as much respect for all of these actors as, like, we do. So it's really great to hear her speak to them.
So, a 20-plus year career for Stephanie Dierbach.
Yeah. And what to think that she never did Sondheim is crazy to me.
It is crazy. What was her Broadway debut?
I don't know.
The Boy from Oz?
She was saying, though, that, like, her and Seb will never do a show together again. This is, like, the final opportunity. And that they have put in their contracts that it can only be if he has, like, a satchel and wears tight pants. Because Wicked and Into the Woods is basically the same costume. They also talked, like, extensively about how at this stage in their life, Baker and Baker's wife is them. And they got many notes from the director that they were, like, touching too much on stage. It was too, like, lovey-dovey. And these characters cannot be, like, super obsessed like with each other. And the other thing, too, that I thought was really interesting, because I felt this way when I saw his performance. He was like, this is the first time in my entire life that I am not in my head when I'm acting. I'm just, like, letting my body, like, play this part. And I feel like everybody in that show is doing that because it's like literally a masterclass by every single actor on that stage. Yes. And maybe by episode release, we would have seen it again in Buffalo. I actually don't know the answer to that. So we'll see what happens.
It's on the docket. It's on the docket.
We are monitoring the ticket situation. The prices are not outrageous at this very moment, but also
it's the Buffalo preview. It's the preview run.
Buffalo has had so much snow that we kind of have to like monitor very close to the day, because if there's a snowstorm, we unfortunately cannot go. It's too hard.
If people are listening who don't live near us or not in the Toronto GTA area, Buffalo's like an hour from where we are. So yes, it is very doable, but if it's snowing, we will not be crossing the border.
Like a few weeks ago, they were under like 4 feet of snow. So yeah.
I need to find my passport actually. One other thing. This is a pitch. Can we try and find a Trader Joe's if we go to Buffalo?
Yes, I know where one is. Corey and I went.
So we always go to Target, and it's like let's go to
There's there's a Trader Joe's and a Target in the same plaza.
Okay, so if we go see the evening show, we'll go early. And
I looked this up for anyone that's interested in Canada. There, you can bring back food if you have not stayed overnight.
Oh, really? So it doesn't count towards your spend? I guess it's like consumable.
There's a whole list. You can't bring back like dairy. You can't bring back like the same things you can't fly with.
You can bring like packaged things. You can bring like packaged things.
But like the frozen gnocchi, you can bring it back because I brought it back.
Like, do we need to bring our cooler?
Yeah. We brought a cooler back to New York. Like, I'm not even lying about this. So if there's any other Trader Joe's in Buffalo, let us know.
Give us a recommendation. Like, what should we bring back from Trader Joe's? I've never been. I want to know.
Wow. I have some recommendations. Yes. Very exciting stuff. But there's a Target and Trader Joe's in the same plaza. There's also a Michael's in that plaza. It's like very good. It's all good.
What about a Hobby Lobby? Hobby Lobby?
I've never found a Hobby Lobby. We don't have Hobby Lobby in Canada. No, but I think Hobby Lobby is better than Michael's.
That's what I'm saying. It looks exciting. It looks cheap.
It does look cheap.
Like Michael's is expensive, I find.
Yeah. We're off the rails, but
again, we're really off the rails.
Maybe we'll be going to Into the Woods in Buffalo, so this is important information to us. With that, we've reached the end of this episode. That is our way too early 2023 Tony nominations and also our obsession of the week. We will be doing a Tony nominations episode in May as soon as those nominations come out. And then, as I said, the Tony Awards are June 13th, and we will see how this all plays out. And if you want to listen to any of our other episodes, you can do that by subscribing to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We'd really appreciate it if you left us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. And you can also watch us on YouTube, and don't forget to subscribe.
And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @off2boapodcast with the number 2. And send your Trader Joe's recommendations our way, please. Thank you.
And also let us know how off we are on our way to early 20 nominations.
We're off. We're off.
Specifically in the featured actor category, we are off.
That's the fun part, to be off.
Exactly. And we will see you guys next time.
Bye.